This is the fourth podcast around the EU elections by Josina Kamerling, CFA Institute. The other three have been published already and you can look them up. This podcast takes into account what is happening now after the European elections. We have seen a new convergence of political groups, and this month of June will be a month in which the groups will sit together and discuss new groupings that will be important, specifically in the smaller groups and within the Eurosceptic factions. But the great question now is a debate around who will be chosen as Commission President. After the Treaty of Lisbon, it was clear that the European elections results would have an influence on who the potential candidate might be. And indeed, the political groups use this as a point in their election promotions by putting forward candidates. The European Council, which is the European Member States, was not so keen on this debate and has been much more reticent. Now, after the elections, we can see that EU political leaders are becoming more vocal and the debate is accruing in intensity. So this is something to watch because this will have a great impact, as I will explain a little bit later on in this podcast. Other key positions that will be negotiated in this month of June will, of course, be the whole bureau around the EP president, who will be chosen from amongst all the EP members. There will be several vice presidents, and there's a bureau. They have key importance within the European Parliament, and they also have quite a big institutional role. The other thing that, of course, will be looked at this month is the composition of the committees within the European Parliament. At the moment, there are 22 standing committees. A particular heavyweight, of course, these past years has been the Economic and Monetary Affairs Committee, which regroups both the macroeconomic governance, taxation, competition, and financial services. It remains to be seen whether this committee will stay as a whole as it is currently or whether there will be a subcommittee specifically looking perhaps at financial services. This could be the case. What is important is that once the Council has chosen a president of the Commission elect, this then has to be subject to the approval of the European Parliament by the majority of the component members. So will the candidate be proposed by the European Parliament or will it in the end be proposed by the Council or will there be a consensus? This no one at this moment does know. Once the President of the Commission has been elected, then a list of other persons suitable to be chosen as commissioners will be chosen. It is proposed by the member states themselves, and the whole list of commissioners are subject to hearings within the European Parliament. This takes place in September, and they can be struck off the list if the vote doesn't go through in the European Parliament. Once there has been a vote of consent on the whole Commission by the European Parliament, it is then appointed by the European Council, which is the members of government of the member states by qualified majority. The whole Commission is personally accountable and has to guarantee independence from their national interests, and this is a key point. There's also collective accountability to the European Parliament. And the European Parliament can adopt a motion of censure if it doesn't agree with the politics and the guidance of one of the commissioners. The Commission will work under the political guidance of its president, who decides on the internal organization and will give each new commissioner a specific sector. As a reminder, the Commission has the monopoly on initiating EU lawmaking. It draws up proposals and proposes them to the two decision-making authorities, which are the Council, which is in its ministerial formation, and the European Parliament, who both then decide to adopt the legislation. The other powers the Commission has is to prepare a draft budget for the European Union, and it has a power which is limited, and that is enough an opinion or recommendation on the Economic Monetary Union. It can also draft, and it does draft, broad economic guidelines for policy, economic policies in the member states, and it assesses and makes recommendations on measures if member states are in difficulty. Another quite important aspect of the power of the Commission is the power to implement union law. And that is either it monitors the implementation within each member state, or it implements itself by delegated and implementing acts. This is, for example, notably the case in MiFID, where there are currently, through ESMA, which is the European Securities Markets Authority, there are currently 1,000 pages out for consultation among stakeholders, looking at technical standards which will help the Commission in its implementing rules. The European Parliament, now after the Lisbon Treaty, legislates by what we call the ordinary legislative procedure. And this is, as a reminder, once the Commission has initiated a proposal, which is then looked at by the Parliament and by the Council, this process of a joint decision by the Council and the Parliament is called the ordinary legislative procedure, because it happens now in more than 86 policy areas, and notably in financial services. As a reminder, the European Parliament doesn't have the right to decide on tax, competition law, harmonization. It has the right to be consulted, and it will emit an opinion. This is important. The right of initiative of the Commission can only be supplemented by the European Parliament, because the European Parliament has a limited role of initiative by making an own initiative report whereby they recommend the Commission to initiate a proposal. This sounds complex EU law, but it actually works quite well in an area which is of current interest. For example, in financial services policy, an own initiative report by the Parliament will definitely get looked at by the Commission, and is almost impossible to refuse to legislate, to propose a legislation on this. Once the Commission has used its right to develop implementing and delegated acts, the European Parliament still has a right of scrutiny over these acts. And this is important because it can call back legislation done by the Commission which it doesn't think conforms to the original legislation. And this is important, again, as in the case of MiFID, there is quite a lot of complex delegation within the Commission on the technical standards applying the directive of MiFID. So it will be important, the right of scrutiny will be extremely important in this case. A thing to remember is that nearly half of the MEPs in this current new parliament starting in 2014 are new. And this will have quite a lot of impact on the constitution of the committees. We will know the new committees, and specifically the Economic and Monetary Affairs Committee, which is the key one for financial services, in the first week of July. The work of the committee is extremely important for legislation. Every 2 weeks in the month are set aside for working in the committee, whereby members discuss legislation and they follow up negotiations with the Council, organise hearings and look at scrutiny of the EU institutions. So again, it is important to follow the work of the committee. In September, I will start analysing what the new committee will face in financial services. I will then give you an indication of how the different files might start moving. But until then, this is the last podcast for the moment. Thank you very much all for listening.
Copyright 2014 CFA Institute. This program is designed to give accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is distributed with the understanding that CFA Institute is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, tax, investment, or other expert advice. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.